coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. America held hostage, day number 50, held hostage by the communist left in Washington, D.C., the coup. We are the resistance, and we will always be the resistance. We will resist, and we will keep fighting until there is no fight left in us or until we win. And I suggest the latter and believe the latter. We cannot, folks, we cannot take our eyes off of what happened on November 3rd. We cannot look, we've got to understand that the individual, the resident in the White House was put there by fraudulent means, and we've got to expose that entire operation, each and every person. Right now there's a hearing, or earlier today there was a hearing, I believe it was in Wisconsin, and one of the individuals, folks, this kind of big news, actually, but it's really not getting a lot of traction, of course, in the mainstream media. Wisconsin lawmakers held this general election review hearing, okay? This was based on news that a Democratic operative was given keys to the room, the counting room that held the absentee ballots. Gateway Pundit had an article on this. Now, the Democratic operative, let me just make sure here. Okay. It was identified again by Gateway Pundit, who states this. A new study coming out of Wisconsin confirmed that former top Democratic operative Michael Spitzer Rubenstein was given keys to the KI Center ballroom in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where absentee ballots were stored and counted for days prior to the election. All right, now, concurrent with all of this, H.R. 1, we keep talking about this. I want everyone to understand how important H.R. 1 is. We cannot have H.R. 1. It is unconstitutional. And hopefully I can talk with Richard Proctor, who's my guest today, about this particular bill and why it needs to be shut down. In other news, of course, in the meantime, there's a couple of things that really are kind of very interesting and exist on the periphery of news, but one thing that is troublesome is Jen Psaki. Remember, the P is silent, just like the P in president for Biden. Press Secretary Psaki was questioned by reporters about the scale of the border crisis. We have a crisis of unprecedented proportions right now and building on the southern border. And she responded to a reporter, well, that's not our program. That's not our job. I mean, that's DHS. Wait a second. And the last time I checked, DHS was part of the executive branch. I mean, it is their problem. It is their program. It is theirs to designate. Given a free pass on that. And just within hours of that response, the head of the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security requested volunteers to help the southern border amid an overwhelming migrant surge. Okay. Exactly what does that mean? Apparently, to clarify later on, it meant the off-duty DHS personnel and others to come in and volunteer their time to process these illegal aliens. Okay, process, as opposed to repel and send back. It's amazing. It's, again, it's open for interpretation. The, how it was placed and how it was stated. It's open for interpretation, of course. I predict as well, you know, there's not going to be a wall, any more wall built. President Trump built 500 miles, roughly 500 miles of new wall on the southern border, replacing fencing, replacing just stuff. You know, you could have had, a couple of tin cans and string down there or string holding tin cans as a barrier. And President Trump replaced that. You know, when they say, well, he didn't really build any new wall. Oh, yes, he did, because what was there was insufficient to stop anything. All right. But we're going to see this unprecedented, I believe, surge into the United States on our southern border. We're also seeing unprecedented, big tech tyranny. All right, which is going to lead, and this is, I do believe this is the kind of the big enchilada here. Okay. You know, we're seeing the censorship of programs. We're seeing the deplatforming of people. We've seen it for a couple of years now. Big tech is out of control, or they're in control and they want to control you. But what's this all leading to? And I was talking with a couple of talk show hosts, folks, you know who they are, as well, and practically begging them to cover this story, much like, in fact, InfoWars covers the story. Alex Jones does a great job in covering this particular story. But I'm going to show you a video before Richard Proctor comes on, because I want to have him uninterrupted for the time period. Yeah, and by the way, folks, don't forget, please keep praying for Randy Taylor, who's in the hospital. It's pretty serious, and your prayers, are indeed welcome, and requested by his family. This, go ahead and play this. This is what we're going to see here in America. Go ahead.
Post-pandemic, it's something we'll all likely to have to get more and more comfortable with. We could be asked to show proof we've had the shots in order to get on an airplane, go to a concert, or go back to work.
When you get your first dose, you get a card, a CDC card that says where you got that dose, and then if you have the follow-up dose, where you're supposed to get that. So it's a CDC card that, in theory, you hold in your wallet. You could prove in the future, hey, I've been vaccinated. The question is whether then that might eventually translate into some sort of a passport, a vaccine passport.
Dozens of startups, as well as major companies like Microsoft, Ticketmaster, Apple, and Google have shown interest or are currently working on creating their version of an immunization certificate for COVID-19.
There are going to be communities and areas of the country where it starts to make sense due to high availability of vaccine to say, you want to come back to work in person? Got to show me a vaccine certificate. You want to go in a bar, a restaurant? Got to show me a vaccine certificate. With a COVID certification, you're going to gain freedom. You're going to gain mobility. And I'm going to suggest that you're probably going to be able to get certain jobs. If you want to work on a cruise ship, I can't imagine that they're not going to be advertising that everybody who's on the staff and the crew is vaccinated, so come on back.
Israelis must now scan in to get in to gyms, hotels, even concerts like this.
It is all set in the telephone. It's very convenient.
The government-issued green pass shows personal details and proves they've had two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. Now countries across Europe and beyond are considering similar so-called vaccine passports or immunity certificates.
Thousands apparently are trying to get forged green passes there, which raises major health concerns. European human rights experts already raising alarm about the passes that could provide a lane for unlawful discrimination. Ethicists in Germany worry that creating this type of system encourages a new class of basically special people vaccinated with special privileges.
How does the government ensure that your data is not shared with, let's say, police, immigration officers, employers? How does the government avoid discriminating against the people who don't yet have access to the vaccine? And particularly because we've already seen racial and ethnic minorities getting vaccinated at lower rates than some other groups. Also, you could make the argument that younger Americans who are at the end of the line can't quite yet get vaccinated, and therefore they could be discriminated against.
I'll make a prediction. We'll have vaccine passports here by the fall, certainly by next year. Airlines, cruise ships, hotels, gyms, bars, they're all going to say, look, in order for us to tell our customers that it's safe, we want to see that passport. Absolutely coming.
All right. That was from the Daily Caller. And folks, I truly believe the mass surveillance state is key to the Marxist Maoist agenda, the communist agenda. The reason I say Maoist is because one more thing, the COVID relief bill, the $1.9 trillion package, if you took that money each American, all right, now you remember you were promised $2,000, you will be getting $1,400 to those who qualify based on income guidelines. However, it's a $1.9 trillion bill, right? Okay. So if you would divide that among those who qualify, not 1400, no. You would be getting $6,000. So where's the other $4,600 going? Is my math right? I think it is. Where's it going? It's going to blue states to bail them out. It's going to unions. It's going to special interest groups. That's where this money is going. And it's not a product of the left. It's a product of the uniparty. They're both parties are on board with this, and they're okay with this. So the reason I brought that into the mix too, COVID passports, if you will, vaccine passports, which it's not even a vaccine. It's a gene therapy, experimental at that. But this is where we're all headed. It's the expansion of the surveillance state. You will comply or we will deplatform you. You will comply or you won't do banking. Remember Andrew Torba, from Gab. Okay. Oh, even evangelical Christian credit unions. No. And on and on and on. One last thing. You know, I was looking to, about the word, you know how people say, hey, we're going to be getting back to normal here. Normal under the, Hyder in chief. Joe Biden might be. Come on, man. Eric the Tech, you got to be a little bit quicker on the button on that one. But anyway, no button. That's all right. You weren't listening. How you doing?
Doing good.
All right, brother. Eric the Tech is the guy. But I was looking at the word, looking for normal, news about getting back to normal. And I found this. Unilever, it's a large company, a large corporation. All right. Hang on. This is from moonbattery.com. Unilever abolishes the word normal. The objective of the leftist social engineers is to marginalize normality itself. All right. If you doubt it, consider that the word normal has now been struck from the newspeak dictionary by the repressively woke mega corporation, Unilever. Who will drop the word normal from its beauty products and ban excessive editing of models' photos in a push for inclusivity. Something tells me I want to bleach my eyeballs and gouge them out or something. I don't know. And that's not disparaging. I'm just saying. All right. So we are seeing this massive final gasp push. And I don't even want to describe it as a final gasp. This massive energized push because the left believes they got their way. They got their guy in They have, they're filling positions with Obama retreads. Okay. I went over this yesterday. They are. And that everything is just going to go their way. And yes, you're going to be under surveillance. Yes, if you don't toe the line of the Maoist Communist Party, who's hiding behind that 7-8 foot wall fencing permanent in front of the Capitol, which is going on its second month, and it's going to extend, mark my words, it's permanent. They say it's going to extend into May and possibly into the fall because of some nebulous threat by right-wing, domestic right-wing terrorists, which there are none or very, very few, if any. Okay. I shouldn't give absolutes, but certainly domestic right-wing terrorists are not the threat here. Just ask some of the normal people in Seattle or Portland. Oh, that's right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we ever got a letter from Seattle or Portland. I'm not, you know, anyway, you get the idea, folks. So nothing is normal. But what about the Constitution? Because the Constitution is our founding document. H.R. 1, I gotta say, H.R. 1 flies in the face of the Constitution. It takes away the rights of the states to dictate to handle their elections, handle elections on a state level. It takes away their rights, puts the rights in the federal government's hands to redistrict areas, and so on. So it's unconstitutional on its face. Yet both parties are saying, oh, this is great. This is going to make things right. No, it's not. It is going to push the final nail in our coffin. Here to talk about this and much more is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com. Have you been there? If you go there, I'll tell you what, you'll find Saving the Constitution. This is a great book. You can read it, and it's got a lot of great information. Saving the Constitution. You'll find Bathroom Economics at ProvisInstitute.com. You'll find, you see, look at this. I've got that too. This, by the way, you want to know, if you want to learn about economics, I should try to straighten that out. This is really a great book. I'm telling you, this is probably one of the most underrated, at least on this show, in terms of talking about economics. This is a really great book. And then, of course, Liberty, Will It Survive? The series, you've got to get that too. It gives you a whole bunch of background. And historically, way back in history and then more recent history. It's a fabulous series, and I use it all the time for reference when I write for publications like Wisconsin Christian News. Yes. Yes. Definitely visit WisconsinChristianNews.com. Give them a shout out. And subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News. They're a hard copy newspaper, folks. And I got to tell you something. I know the editor in chief, the owner, the founder, the guy that, runs the presses, delivers the papers, mails them out, sets the print, sets the type, does everything, works 24/7. I'm talking with him and, hey, you know what? That's a great place to help out, contribute financially, donate there. So go to WisconsinChristianNews.com and give them a little bit of help, if you can. WisconsinChristianNews.com. But yeah. So anyway, having said that, how you doing, Dr. Richard Proctor? How are you today, sir?
Very good. Given the circumstances, all these things that are going on, very good.
You always
are. I'm
not
sure I like all the things that are going on, but for me, right now, very good.
And you look good. How's that? What happened? You're not red.
I'm not as red, huh?
No.
Yeah. Well, I was indoors this week a little more.
Yeah, you didn't get
taking care of business.
You got your head out of the microwave, right? So
yes.
All right. Now it's good. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. It's good to have you. So okay. Where do we start? You know, we have so much going on here, and
I got an idea.
Well,
where
let's
we should start.
Okay, I'm open for those.
You just a few minutes ago said that H.R. 1 is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about indirectly the police state that's being built around the vaccine, the passports.
Yep.
You talked about the border being invaded, all of those kinds of things, that invasion.
Yep.
Well, if things go the way they look like they're going to go, in June, you won't be able to say it's unconstitutional anymore because we won't have one. The Constitution we have today will not be acceptable anymore in June. Why do I say that? Because there's a rumor that a CONCON is going to meet in May. And I have seen state after state after state after state putting this up and passing this. And they only needed 7 or 8 to finish it. So I am sure that nail, that coffin's been nailed. What does that mean? Well, people think, I even heard, we go to South Dakota a lot for all the good things they've done during this fiasco. But if I read it correctly, South Dakota is getting ready to pass or has passed, is considering for sure, they call it a state constitution. They call it a state convention. I got the words out finally. They call it a state convention. And they're going to have, they're calling for that state convention. Convention of states, same thing. They are saying that we're going to call for that and we're going to submit a requirement that it treat a balanced budget. We want an amendment for a balanced budget. That's what they're talking about. Let's have an amendment for a balanced budget. So we're going to have a CONCON. Oh, no, a convention of states.
Well, constitutional convention, right?
Yes, that's what it will be. They're going to call it a convention of states, though, because that's the one that's the third one in the list, and it's the one that people aren't aware of very much. And so they are aware of what a CONCON is, but they changed the word so that they didn't have to say CONCON anymore, so they get more people on board. But here's the rub, you guys. Here's the rub. When that gavel drops, Ramo, when that gavel drops, that minute, the Constitution will begin to be changed. Let's use an example in history. Remember, history repeats itself. In 1787, a whole group of representatives from the colonies, states, if you will, met together to fix, change a little bit, adjust the Articles of Confederation. After the gavel dropped, eventually, during that day, every member of that organization threw out all of the instructions they had been given by their government. They just said, we're not going to do that. And they decided to write a new one. As minute the gavel drops, all these people that think their representatives are going there to have a balanced budget amendment or some such thing are going to discover that the balanced budget amendment was never even discussed. The only thing that was discussed is the new constitution. Now I have a copy of one of the many new constitutions that will be proposed, and it'll be a grouping of this kind of thing. Let me just tell you what this particular constitution will say. First, it's going to change the ratification process. No longer will it be required to have 3/4 of the states or any of the states ratify it. A committee in Washington, D.C. will ratify it. No longer will they be states. They'll be regions, specific regions around the country. No longer will you have God-given rights. They'll all be dictated by the government, taken away or awarded based upon what the government wants. Are you picking up on what's going to happen? This new coming constitution will destroy every right you have. And it will happen if that group meets. And those people that think it's just going to do a budget amendment are missing the boat entirely. That's an excuse to get people there so they can do it. But when they get people there, they're going to destroy the Constitution we have. We will not have one anymore, officially from the U.S. government. Why did I say it that way? Why did I say officially from the U.S. government? They can't take away your right to have your own copy until they burn them all, but you can hide one. They can't take away your right to have your Constitution. And if you'd get off your butts and form constitutional sanctuary counties, you'll never get a state to do it. Why won't you get a state? Because the states did all this stuff in concert about the hoax this whole last year. COVID, oh boy, everybody in COVID. Then we got to wear masks. We got to do this. We got to do social distancing, all this stuff. The state governors went along with it 99%. So since they went along with it, they'll go along with this constitutional convention, and they'll go along with whatever the new constitution says. So you'll never get anything out of the states. But the counties, Noah Davis is keeping track of the counties. Last I heard, there were well over 1,000 sanctuary counties, concentrating mostly on the Second Amendment, but concentrating also, changing now their constitution, their direction to the constitutional county sanctuary. Folks, okay. You gotta have them. That is the only safeguard you'll have. And if your county won't do one, your city can. It's the only way you're going to have it. Now, Idaho, just use Idaho. I looked at the map. Every county in Idaho is a sanctuary county. That's outstanding. I talked to the people in Malad. I said, you guys are a Second Amendment, right? No. We've changed that. We're a complete constitution sanctuary. We've got to do that. We've got to have that. Now, I've been talking about that for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
And, yes.
And I'm not sure very much has happened. Guys, May is only a few days away, only a few weeks away. May starts in about 6 weeks. June is only 4 more.
Are you, just to be clear here, because people are going to say, well, I haven't heard about any convention in the states. Are you talking about, there is a, and you're right, the balancing the federal budget, Singer, introduced a resolution calling for convention of states, balance federal budget, is this what you're talking about, Okay. All right. Because it is picking up steam and making news, but you know, I didn't see this as being, threatening.
They only need about 7 states to say yes.
All right.
They've been counting states since the 1950s.
Yes.
And they're accepting any state that passed it since 1950s is on the list. And they, to my knowledge, will not accept revocations. Once you've passed it, that's that. We fought it here in Utah for years, but last year they decided we would have a constitutional convention, or at least a call for a constitutional convention.
And
they call it Convention of States. Remember that. They call it Convention of States.
Right. And they're using – so the way I'm looking at this, they're using the now I want to make sure I'm correct here. They're using Article 5 Convention of States, but they're using, you know, the skyrocketing national debt and the lack thereof of their lack of confidence in public leaders to call this or to do this convention. I mean, that's the pretext for what they're doing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's.
But that's not the answer, because the government's the government. So
right.
What if there's an amendment? They don't pay attention to the other 27. Why will they pay attention to the 28? The real reason, the real thing to be going for, if you really want to fix this debt, is get the senators back under the control of the states instead of the people. That's what you got to do if you're going to get rid of this debt. There's no other way.
And I didn't realize how important that was. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But I didn't realize how important that was. When the true balance, you know, in both houses, you have the House and then you've got the Senate. The true balance existed, folks, and please, this is important, existed when you had the states selecting the senators, okay, as opposed to the people voting for the senators. Once that was taken away, really, what's the use of having two chambers? Is that?
That's exactly right. We just have one. But let me explain what the impact was. Let's talk about how it was before 1913.
Okay.
Then let's talk about how it is after 1913. Before 1913, the states appointed the senators. When the Constitution was written, those men stood there and said, I represent my state and I'm not giving up my power. And the other people said, I represent the people and I'm not giving up my power. And this kind of went back and forth. The Senate was decided easily. Two from each state. And the Senate and the state appoints them. That was easy. When it came to the representatives, that almost broke up the constitutional convention. Because some wanted 50,000, 60,000, even 100,000, and some wanted 5,000, 10,000 people per representative. The bigger that number, the more control the big states have, and the lesser control the little states have. The smaller that number, the more control the smaller states have in relation to the big states. So the number was decided to be 30,000 on the last week of the convention, so that people would sign the document. And then, 1790, they violated that and went to 50,000 automatically. And then they stayed between 50 and 60,000 until the Civil War. And after the Civil War, it began to grow until now the number somewhere close to 800,000 people per representative, which means you don't have any representation. The states lost their representation in 1916, and the people lost their representation in 1790. So now let's go back. What was the reason? What's the real underlying reason? When you read your Constitution, you will discover that all bills about money originate in the House. That's on purpose. Because people would go to the House members and say, would you please do this and do this and do this and this? All these things they wanted to have. And they were all unconstitutional and they all cost money. But people like things. They want the government to provide things. And I don't mind, okay? I just mind when it gets out of control. But I don't mind. Okay, have the government provide something. Okay, they're not supposed to, but okay. When those representatives all got back to the House, they all started talking about all the stuff their people wanted. And they put a bill together, bills together, more and more, that had all these things in it. And that gathered the money. Every one of those bills cost money. Up went the cost of government. Oh, my, did it go up. So the bill went to the Senate for approval. And the senator said, hold the phone. If I approve this bill that costs the states, that will send more taxes to the states. Oh, and remember that. So the very, very first line, it says right here, we're talking about Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3. Representatives, direct taxes shall be apportioned among the states. That says that if there's any overspending of the government, that states will get directly taxed to put up with it. So when the senators saw these new bills coming through that were going to cost money, and the government would then send taxes to the states, and the states are going to say, hold the phone, I'm not going to have you. They'd fire them, get another guy in. that would defend their rights. That was before 1913. After 1913, the senators are now responsible to the people, as are the House members. And nobody is responsible to the states. So the senators, they get told by the people what they want too. And so all these people get told and all, and nobody's there to stop it. The senators say, I want to get reelected. And the House members say, well, I want to get reelected. Let's put all this in. Let's put it all in. Let's put it all in. And they did, and they passed it, and up went the debt. Up went the debt. Now, it wasn't quite that fast, but that's what happened. So now here we have a government with 50 states, and the states have no power whatsoever. None. Sip, zero. We have 330 million, and those people have all the power, and they all want things. And 50% or so of those people are on the government dole, and they don't want it stopped. So they always vote for people that will give them the money. The Democrats are the ones who wanted 2,000. It got cut to 600. Now they're putting the other 14 back. So it'll be 2,000 total. And everybody's cheering. Oh, 2,000. Let me see. 2,000 times all the taxpayers that qualify. Let me see. What will that? Oh, my. We're talking new money. And the new money effect of way over a few trillion dollars. Way over that. Because you see, that money will all go to banks. They'll go to people's accounts in the banks, but they'll all go to banks. And banks will look at that and multiply it by 9 and then multiply it by 9 again. So the 2 trillion would, if it was going the way it should, would go to 18, and the 18 would go to, I don't know, what's 9 times 18? Are you getting the picture? That's the $1 trillion that will be added to our economy.
Right.
That's wow. Economics. You got to have both these books, guys.
Yeah.
That's the economic side.
Yeah, I do. Again, I highly recommend Bathroom Economics. It's a good read. It really makes sense out of today's economics. And I have to tell you that that's not an easy thing to do. Dr. Proctor just makes it look easy. Provis Institute, P-R-O-V like Victor I-S, Institute.com is this website.
That's $162 trillion.
Yeah, $162 trillion.
That the banks will create. Now I'm going to carry on. That's the first two steps.
Okay. All right.
What about the next step? Because the banks have the ability to go as many number of steps they want. The next step will be 1,458 trillion added to what we have today. Not debt, but money in our economy. The next step. Are you getting the picture? 13,000 trillion. Well, that's the money that will be in the. Do you see inflation coming since the money supply controls inflation?
Well, how is that even possible, though? I mean, it's creating. Yeah, I guess it is possible.
It happened in Germany in the 1920s. They did that. Stamps went up to several billion mark.
Right.
I've got some in my stamp collection. You guys are going to go to the post office and you're going to hand the guy a bill and he's going to say, okay, I want $20,000 to mail this letter. That's what we're headed for. That's the economic that cannot be stopped by law. Economics responds to what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the government, and it is not legislatable. No matter what they say, that's what will happen when they give that kind of money out to everybody, eventually. Guys, and that's happening because the senators aren't representative of the states.
Right.
If the senators were representing the states, they would say, oh, we're going to have to send that $1 trillion bill to the states. They'll have to pay for it. No, they won't. Exit. And they would. And it would control this stuff. You want to fix the out of control budget? Put the senators back where they belong. I'm going to read something out of Article 5, just so that you know that of an interesting thing. Provided no amendment shall be made. Okay, that's a prohibition of amendments. This is prohibiting two kinds of amendments. Prohibiting them. It's written right here. Article 5, last couple of lines. one prohibition has to do with slavery. The next prohibition says no state without its consent shall be deprived of its Senate representation. Now, that's not what it says, but that's what it says. It says suffrage in the Senate, which means Senate representation. So Article 5 made the 17th Amendment unconstitutional from the first minute it was written down. But we still passed it because we thought it would be neat to elect the senators, because we saw senators getting in the way of the goodies we wanted, because the representatives told us that what they were doing. So we were hoodwinked, not only in Amendment 16, we were hoodwinked to pay taxes directly. We were hoodwinked into thinking that if we could elect the senators, that would be better too. And those two bills cost us our country, those two amendments. And every state in this country right now, using Article 6 and the 10th Amendment, could nullify those two amendments this minute. But none of them will. None of them will.
When was the 17th Amendment? I'm just curious. I'm looking here. The 17th Amendment, when was that?
1913.
That's what I thought. I was
1913 was the worst decade of worst year of our entire history. It was a key. It was a pivot point. 1776 was a pivot point. 1913 was a pivot point. We lost our government and we got taxed directly. And those are two biggies.
And if I can add, 1971, people kind of gloss over when Nixon took us off the gold standard completely.
Yes, that's a good one too. That's very important. Yeah. That's when the Federal Reserve could begin to print euro dollars. Not euros, but euro dollars to their heart's content. Right. And you saw the inflation of the 1970s, didn't you, Doug? That was caused by going off the gold standard, because the international gold standard, our money is what our Federal Reserve is what authorizes dollars to be used for all those international loans.
It was so bad in the 70s, I had to go to the disco just to get my groove on.
You know, I did wrong mathematical calculation. Absolutely wrong. But it gives you a feel of what happened.
What was the wrong calculation?
Interest rates in the 1970s went, in the late 1970s, went to 16%. Okay?
Right. Believe me, I remember.
Some 18 even. Okay?
Yeah.
Inflation at the same time went to something like 16 to 18%.
Right.
So we add the two together, which we should not do. Okay, you can look at the two numbers. You're not supposed to add them, but I'm going to. 18 and 18 is 36%. That's one-third inflation of your money. One-third. One-third out of your pocket. One-third. In other words, if you had $10 at the beginning of 70, at the end of 70, you had six. That's what that means. That's what happened in the 70s. And it happened because of the 17th Amendment and 1971, when we came off the gold standard internationally.
Right.
They took us off the gold standard domestically in the 30s, but that's still, the dollar was still selling internationally. The gold was still selling at $30 to $35 an ounce. And that kept a lid on all these problems. But when they let it free flow, look what it's happened. What's gold at right now? I don't know.
Somewhere around $17 and change, I believe.
Okay, there's what you have. It should be in the 10,000 range, because they're artificially taking it down to a lower level. Artificially means they're selling the same gold over and over and over.
Yeah. Through the non-physical delivery. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
So – And folks, let me just remind you, I think it was in August when Nixon took us off the gold standard. It was a Sunday night, the announcement was made, and people were more upset that their television programming was interrupted than of the announcement that was made by Nixon. Just saying. So, you know, it's, as you said earlier, history repeats itself, and look what people are complaining about today. So, okay, go ahead.
Yes. All right. Now, so I've been talking a problem here all this whole time. I've been talking about problems. Let's move off the business of problems and let's move to some solutions.
Okay.
When Trump spoke last Sunday, not this Sunday, the Sunday before, one of the sentences he used was, this week will be a tremendous week. So I watched the week. I saw nothing happen. I was quite disappointed. So this is what I'm going to say, different than I said last week, but it's the same thing. We need to hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Is that well said? Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst?
Yes.
So now let's see. What is the best? The best is that Trump will come back and take over and stop all this garbage.
That would be good.
The worst is that he won't come and we'll be saddled with all this garbage.
Okay.
And they'll use the military and the TSA to do it. Okay.
Yeah, I would, I don't want to correct you. If I can say the military, now you say the TSA, I would say the military and the intelligence community.
Keep going.
Overall,
you're all right.
You know.
Yeah.
So
FBI,
yeah.
Justice Department, everything.
Yeah.
Everything will be used to do, to control you, to get you out of the picture.
Right.
To control your life. Yep. And destroy this document right here.
Yep.
Got to get it in the right place so the camera will see it. See, I have a little bit of a difficulty with my camera because my camera doesn't see it if it's not in the right spot. And see how it flashes? Isn't that fun? Yep. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
It dissolves into the background. There it is.
Anyway, folks, that shows you how solid my background is. It's kind of not solid. It goes away sometimes. When you put something in front of it, the pre-thing goes away to show the background. Oh, what fun that is. Oh, there I go. Anyway, folks, well, now we've had a little jesting here. That document right there won't be valid in June, probably. We could lose it by June, but that doesn't mean you have to lose it. That just means the federal government will want you to lose it, and they'll put a whole new structure in place to cause you to lose it.
Now the argument, though, okay, and I understand this is an argument that is to me, I think it's pretty fragile. But the argument is, well, this is only to, you know, for an amendment or extra amendments to balance the budget. It really doesn't have anything to do with the Constitution itself, except just to add. So, plus you need 34 states. And to my surprise, that number, I think it was Oklahoma just passed the legislation for the convention of states, as you referenced it. In addition to some other states. So 34 states are needed and 38 to ratify whatever is discussed and agreed upon.
Right.
Okay. So you're saying that this can all happen in the next 3 months.
Well, let me ask you a question, Doug. Now you ponder this for a minute.
All right.
We have a 27th Amendment, don't we? And we have a 24th Amendment and a 25th Amendment, 26th Amendment. Did we ever have a convention of states to do that?
No.
It's not necessary, is it?
No.
It's not necessary to do that, to have a convention of states. It's not necessary. So why is it necessary now to have one to do a balanced budget amendment? You want to do it, propose it, put it out to the states, let everybody sign on it and pass it. That's how all the other amendments have been done.
Well, that's a doggone good question.
Why are we having to have a convention to do it? Why do we need a constitutional convention all of a sudden when it was never required before? Never required before. Well, I shouldn't say never. Right. I guess the 10 amendments did go to a convention, the one in Philadelphia. They did do that again. That's the first 10. Then the next 15, 17, never had a convention to do it. Why do we need one for this one? We don't need one for this one, but they need one to destroy the Constitution. They need one to destroy the Constitution and replace it with something they want.
You know, I think this is one of the best kept secrets, non-secret secrets out there. Who's talking about this aside from you? I don't hear anyone talking about this.
No, they're not, are they?
No, they're not.
Well,
that bothers me.
There's one young lady in Tennessee that's encouraging us constantly to get on the and stop these approvals of it. But she's only one person, she's doing the best she can.
There's a woman, Marty Halverson, which I've never heard of before. I just searched this out just now in Wyoming, who's saying, I strongly oppose the Convention of States, and here's why. And she's echoing what you're saying.
Yes, you know? I strongly oppose it too, but when did you guys hear me say this except here on Hagman's show?
Exactly.
But I've been saying it for years.
Well, I mean, I remember us talking about it when it wasn't this close to fruition, I suppose.
Yes.
I don't know how else to describe this, but everybody, I'm surprised at how far this agenda has advanced without us talking about it. I mean,
because it's being done under the Biden coattails. It's being done under the COVID-19 coattails. You notice all this we're talking about, it happened in the last 45 days.
Yes.
None of these were up in January, not one. Now they're up. People say, well, the states weren't in convention then. They could always call emergency sessions. Always.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about it. Now it's become important. But still nobody's hearing about it. I would ask for a show of hands. Everybody in the audience, raise your hands if you've heard about a convention of states. I didn't see any hands.
Nope. I'm looking out over our vast studio audience here. I don't see anyone. Eric the Tech didn't even raise his hand. So, no, this is so.
It's being hidden. It's being hidden. It's being hidden out in plain sight. It's being hidden.
Wow. Folks, we need to pay attention to this, and we need to get this on people's radar. Talk to everyone you know. This is not good because you are – okay, so under the pretext of you know, an amendment to balance the federal budget, Convention of States, however it, well-intended it sounds, could destroy our current Constitution, our Constitution and our Republic.
That is the goal.
Okay, so yes. You've got – one thing I've noticed, you've got a lot of Republicans – I know folks that don't – it's a uniparty. I get it. But you've got a lot of Republicans pushing this.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. It was passed in Utah by Republicans. I contacted the Speaker of the House here in Utah to talk about this. Well, he didn't talk to me, but he sent one of his aides to talk to me. No, not sent, but we did it on email. Okay?
Right.
And I sent him an email. We need to stop this. And he said to me, don't worry. We'll send them with instructions that they have to follow. So I would write back, say, they're not going to follow the instructions. When the Constitutional Convention starts, they do what they want. Oh no, this is a constitution back and forth. Oh no. We're going to give them instructions and it'll be okay. And I said, no, they always change, but it'll be okay this time. We will control it. I took that line that he said, we will control it, marked it out in red, bolded it up, copied it, and put it on the email, sent it back to him, and said, how? And I never heard back.
Okay. So I'm looking at social networking, for example, Twitter. COS Project, Convention of States Project on Twitter. All right. I'm not looking. I won't go to Twitter because it's a sewage pit, but I'm looking, for example, on search results and I see COS Project. I'm looking at, there's a website, conventionofstates.com.
Yes. Go to it. You'll discover how good it is. Mm-hmm. Well, how much it's going to help us with the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you'll find.
Article 5 Pocket Guide. Why call a convention of states? Well, power back, simple, to bring power back to the states and the people where it belongs. And that sounds great. And it even has a picture of the Constitution. So how can this be wrong?
How could it be wrong? Well, the United Nations has the best mission statement you could ever read.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. And the Russians had, the Soviet Union during the Cold War had a mission statement that was absolutely tremendous.
Wow. You know, okay, so I'm looking, and folks, this isn't what Dr. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, what he's saying, I'm looking at a map right now of states that have passed the Convention of States resolution. and there's a whole bunch. They're colored in green on this map, and then active legislation right now, and they're blue in a whole bunch, and that would take us over the top.
Yes, it will. You know, in the past, there is no limit to how long you can have an amendment be considered by everybody.
Right. It wasn't until the Equal Rights Amendment still bouncing around out there somewhere, right?
Those things bounce around. This amendment shall not be construed. I'm reading now. Let me see. Got to find one here. There's got to be one easily find. Without regard to a memorandum. You see, in some of these amendments, and I can't find one just right off the top of my head here. I thought I would. Has to be done in 7 years. Okay. That became kind of a standby. Pass it in 7 years or you have to start over again. Well, this particular one has been being counted since the 50s. They haven't walked to 7 years. We're lucky now it's 70 years they've been trying to get this done. And they're not ever going to start over.
Can I say this? When you're going up against some heavyweights, some people that others, conservatives, look up to, okay? You're going against Mike Huckabee, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Rand Paul,
but you know who I'm not going against?
No.
History.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just saying that, well, gee, if Mark Levin says it's a good thing and James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, I'll toss him in too. David Horowitz, all right.
A lot of weight, doesn't it? I guarantee you guys, when they discover what it happens, they will now be foot in mouth and wish they had never said those things.
Alan West, Ben Shapiro. Okay, so, wow. Okay. This is frightening, frankly.
Yes, you see, they use the term convention of states. Before that term came along, nobody really paid any attention. But when that term came along, everybody says, well, it's a state convention, just like it's called for here in the Constitution in Article 5. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, if we're going to have a convention of states, let's do exactly what it says in the Fifth Amendment. Don't just say it. Don't just say the words. Do what it says. It says.
Wow.
There's the comma or. Mm-hmm. By conventions in three-fourths thereof. In three-fourths thereof. So if we're going to have a convention of states, we're going to have a convention in every state, all 50. Not send representatives to one group in Washington or wherever they decide to do it. Every state has a convention. That's what Article 7 did. If you read close to Article 7, Article 7 sent the Constitution to the states for ratification. They had conventions of states in 9 states for ratification, and that's exactly correct. But a convention of states meets in every state. That's what the book says, you guys. Read the Blumen book before you open your traps.
Very interesting.
In the state.
Okay. And that's a huge difference.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Dead air. I know radio doesn't like dead air, but I got to tell you, that just hit me between the eyes in a sense.
Okay. Now it's time we went on to solutions. We've just been talking about bad stuff. We spend an hour talking about bad stuff. Remember, prepare for the best. Prepare, hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Hold that thought. We're at the top of the hour.
Fair enough.
Instead of taking a break, I just want to identify here, you're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Catch us on Rumble as well. Please subscribe to us on Rumble and comment in the comments section. Offer your comments. We appreciate that. And thank you so very, very much for your support. And thank you for your support of people like Richard Proctor. Saving the Constitution is one of his books, the Liberty Series, as well as Bathroom Economics. And there's a lot there. Go to provostinstitute.com. And he's my guest for today, which is Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. Before I go any further, I want to just say thank you to corporate sponsor Honey. Folks, have you heard about this? Now, if you're like me, you might not have heard about this had it not been for my wife. Here's the deal. Okay. My wife, I got to tell you a real quick story. My wife was shopping for, she needed a new office chair and she was online and looking for one. Because God bless her. I mean, I love my wife and I want her to be comfortable. And I said, look, just make sure you get a chair that's comfortable for you, you know, and cause she does a lot of work. And anyway, Eric the tech did a nice job on the office. So she got online and she found a chair that she liked and she said, here's the one I liked. And I said, well, get it. And she said, okay, you know, and here's how much it costs. And anyway, here's, you know, we all shop online. I guess that's my point. You know, we all shop online. And when she brought up the, and I'm not going to tell you where it was from, but it is a nice chair and it wasn't unreasonably priced. But you know, when she, and we've all seen the promo code, right? The promo codes that taunt us at checkout. Well, she has Honey installed. Okay. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. And Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. And yes, even office supplies or furniture stores. So just real quick, imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. And when you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. And if Honey finds a working coupon, you can watch the prices drop. In my wife's case, I'm going to tell you 15%, not dollars, percent. That's what she saved on an office chair. And I was happy and she was happy. Okay. It was that easy. Honey has found over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Folks, if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's free. It's literally free and installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this broadcast. That's right. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Did you get that? Two N's on Hagman as well. And as always, you will thank me later. All right. You know, my wife's such a gorgeous woman, such a beautiful lady. She helps so much around the office and I love her so much. I can't believe we've been married over 30, long time. Yeah, she's just great. So, anyway, Richard Proctor again is my guest. So this is amazing stuff you are dropping on us today. Dr. Proctor, let me ask you a question. How many people do you think realize this is going on percentage wise in the population?
Of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Half a percent less. How many people would be affected? 100%.
100%.
Half a percent or less. Maybe it's only 0.1%. Because we're very complacent. They don't know.
I'm embarrassed now, myself. And in a sense, I'm embarrassed that I haven't been speaking out against this. I'm sorry.
Okay, now, we're talking to 150, 120,000 people, right? Some number like that, just a guess.
Roughly, yes.
Roughly, just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of you guys that I'm talking to. Now I am talking to you sitting in front of your TV or on your radio or your phone or wherever it is. I'm talking to you. You're sitting there listening to this and I hope understanding the seriousness of this situation. But you're saying to yourself, well, what can we do? And I understand that. We talked about a summit meeting here a couple of weeks ago, but but even doing that won't get the job done quick enough for this particular item. I have offered lots of times for people to get in touch with me, and I'll do Skype presentations, 10 or more folks, no charge, nothing at all. Now, I'm going to give a challenge. This is a very important challenge. I'm talking to you. Very important challenge. I'll bet you know people who don't listen to the Hagman Show. Oh, they don't want to take time, or they don't have time, or they've never heard of it. I'll bet that's the case. I'll bet you have 10, 12, 15, 20, 30, 40 friends, people that you're acquainted with that don't listen to the Hagman Show and aren't learning this material, aren't even being introduced to it. Now, this is the challenge. Remember my book sell for $20 on the internet? My Saving the Constitution sells for $20 on the internet. Okay, folks. I want you, and I don't mean the guy that's next to you or the guy over the fence. I mean you, the person who's seeing this and listening to it. I want you to find 10 or more people. Set up an appointment with me, with them. And I will ship you the books at a discount, $8 a book. I'll ask you to do the shipping on that. But we'll send them out to groups, in groups of 10, to people in groups of 10, so you can have the book in your hand, $12 a book. I'm taking it in the shorts. I want to sell these books to these people. They need them. And that particular event we have, when we're on the Skype, we'll do it on Skype. It's the only way to do it really inexpensively. You can do it on Zoom. I'll accept Zoom, but Skype will be the least expensive. All you have to do is sign up, use your name, don't use it. They want you to use a telephone number. Don't do that. That costs you telephone number. Every time you talk on it, it costs you long distance calls and all that kind of stuff. But if you just do Skype, your name, not a telephone number, then it doesn't cost anything. You can only do it in one place. So you gather in a room, everybody looks at the TV, and I look at the, I can see you and you can see me. You can ask questions and I can talk about things. And you can have these kinds of things in your home where you can ask questions directly of me about the stuff we're talking about. Not have to wonder, well, what would he say? What does this mean? I'll send him an email and ask. No, no, no. Doug gets way too many emails to bring them all up. But in this environment, we'll talk about your questions as they come up. You need to have that ability, and I'm willing to offer it and cut the price of the book down to $12 when ordered in groups of 10 or more. You can order many more as you want. It doesn't mean 5 today, 5 tomorrow. That's 10. No, it means 10 today and 10 tomorrow, or it means 10 total. It doesn't mean small orders. It means one order of 10. I ask you to pay the shipping, an order of 10, plus about $5, six maybe. Okay, that's all. Order of 10 books. Saving the Constitution is the only one we're offering. That's the most important book right now, and people need to know it, because everything we've talked about today is affecting the Constitution and is covered by the Constitution. Everything that we've talked about, including the passport to a vaccination. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Absolute violation. Of course, if they don't do it until the fall, there won't be a constitution to be violating. They like that. This is all a package deal, you know. First, it was get rid of Trump. That was a part of the package deal. Get somebody in the Democratic spot that will do anything that the power wants them to do, and I call that the international banking establishment. Get somebody there that will do anything they ask for, and then after you've gotten rid of Trump, because he's opposed to us, this is bad, get anything you ask for, that's what we'll do. And then he'll say, then they say, now that we've got that, let's get the Convention of States started so that we can get rid of this blooming constitution that's in our way all the time. And then when that comes, there'll be no states, there'll be regions. Oh, look at all the neat stuff here. We can ratify it in Washington. We don't have to worry about anybody fighting us to get it. We'll get exactly what we want. We can do anything we want after that, and we'll have the backing of the law to do it. And that's what the package deal is.
Now, let me ask a question. Are you going to charge a presenter's fee at all for this? In other words, are you going to charge for your time?
No.
Okay. then here's what I'm willing to do. Folks, pay attention, because remember, it was with Dr. Proctor that we talked about this summit idea. And we've been working extensively on that. I'm not going to get into the particulars on that, because it wouldn't be prudent, as
That's
Junior
very
said.
Important.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, but here's what I'm willing to do. All right. I'll start out with three groups of 10. You have 10 people that it better be 10. Okay. That you can gather in front of your television, your home, whatever, and invite Dr. Proctor in by way of a Skype. Okay. I will pay. This platform will pay for the, I will send, when Dr. Proctor says, okay, I've got John Smith out of, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He's got 10 people. He wants 10 books. I'm going to ship 10 books out. I will pay for the books and for the shipping to Dr. Proctor. Okay. For the first three groups. Let's just start out with three. That's my commitment to Dr. Proctor and to each one of you. So it doesn't cost. So what I'm saying to you, Dr. Proctor's sacrificing his time and taking a hit on his books. I will pay for the books. So you guys don't have to pay for anything. Sound fair?
Boy, that's a real offer.
I'm not a rich guy. This is not a profitable platform, believe me. Although people are fantastic, and we thank those who support us. But because, you know, just to get kind of grease the wheels a little bit, just have 10, find 10 people, or 9 actually.
Yeah, get, that's right. Just find 9. Yeah.
Find 9.
The group's 10 in size.
Right. Get them in your house. And by the way, you're going to be able to see them, right? On Skype, isn't that right? Yeah. You guys will see each other. So,
yes,
no
just
cheating.
Like for now. I see you, you see me. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no cheating. Don't have like 3 and then say there's 7 in the back room, you know, having coffee. No, no, no.
I'll make sure, Doug, that you don't get caught with that.
All right. This
and
is
I'll
good.
Make sure I don't get caught with it too, because I want all 10 of those people to be in the screen so they can ask questions directly of me and I can answer them directly to them.
Okay. So you will tell me now how you do this, folks. At HagmanReport.com, there's a link to ProvisInstitute.com. You can do that. In fact, there's an email link. I'll put an email link as well and a arrow pointing to it so you guys know. Call around and then contact Dr. Proctor. And of course, all the information is on your website. So I'll make sure that the website is very prominent. And, when you have 9 plus yourself, call Dr. Proctor and say, this is the time, or, you know, I guess you guys are going to have to work out the time and stuff.
Well, yeah, we'll work all that up.
Yeah. But the fact is, for the first three groups, like I said, we're not a rich, you know, so it won't cost you a dime for the first three groups, and then we'll go from there.
And I'm offering that to as many groups as will come.
Okay.
I don't care how many. I want as many groups as we can possibly fit. Sometimes you'll have to do them in the daytime, and you may not be able to go to work. Oh, my, what will we do now? Well, maybe it would be a good idea, because if you don't do something, you may not have a job to go to anyway. So what, you know. Folks, you don't understand. Pardon?
I like your solution. This is all, I mean, this is a grassroots, and folks, this is up to us. Remember all of you saying, well, it's up to us. I get emails. It's up to us, I guess. You're right. So, okay. Now it's up to you. It's up to us. Let's do it.
I'm talking to every listener, and I'd like, if possible, to include people who are not watching the Doug Hagmann Show, because I want to get word out to more places. And if you have 10 people and they meet together and they, each one of them says, hey, I want to do one of these too with friends I've got. I'm ready. I don't care.
Let's edumacate the people and give them guidance.
Okay, now let me tell you the historical significance of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Revolutionary War, 1775, that era, remember that's when Paul Revere wrote, 1775. Guy by the name, I think it was Doss. Anyway, another guy wrote too. Two of them left. Anyway, so that was 1770. One of the things they had was security, safety committees, they called them, all around the colonies. What we're doing is getting together safety committees so that the summit will have people to work with when that happens. This is the safety committee step. And that's how this country was founded, through the group of people in safety committees. Let's do it. And I don't care how many. I will give up all of my time to do it. Almost all of it. I don't want to do it on Sunday. Okay. And I don't want them doing it at midnight. I don't mind 11 o'clock. You got to have some time off, but I'll do them, you guys. I got a lot of time. I want to limit them to an hour and a half at this point. If I have to, I'll limit them to an hour. I want to limit them to an hour so that I can talk to more people. I want this to go. We have got to do something. Now is the moment. I know that won't stop any of these things that are happening, but maybe we can figure out as groups how to get constitutional counties and county militias. Maybe we can figure out how to do things like that so that we will have solid background to protect ourselves from this government. That's what the Second Amendment says, you guys. We quote it over and over and over and over and over and over. The Second Amendment, you have right to bear arms. That's what it says. Ah, but it's not what it says, really. What it really says, a well-regulated militia is necessary for you to have a free state. That's what it says. Those are the first words. The guns are the last. The first words are, have a militia so you can have a free state. Let's put it in there so you can have a free county, because the states won't back you on this. They've already shown they won't because what they did all last year. So they're not going to back you. They're not interested. They're also wanting to have a con-con. No, they're going to call it convention of states, but it's going to be held somewhere in a group. So it's a con-con, not a convention of states. Definitions are important, you guys. Definitions are important. But they're faking us all out by saying it's a convention of states and not remembering that conventions of states have to be held in the state.
It's a very important distinction, and I appreciate that.
Now, this amendment too, which we all fight for, all these sanctuary counties at this moment are amendment too, but I mean the Second Amendment. But the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia. It just doesn't say you can have guns. It says you need a militia. And it says it's necessary if you're going to keep yourself free from the overreach of a rogue government. And that's what we're faced with today. Guys, I can't offer more than that. I can't come to your home. I'm doing one of these in Michigan, although this is another deal entirely. But I'm going to spend an entire Saturday talking with people, and then I'm going to spend many, many more hours in Michigan talking to people in small groups of 10 or more about subjects they want to talk about. I expect many of them. I've got another fellow who's calling me. I think it's Wisconsin. Nebraska. He's going to be wanting to set some of this up in his area. That's all happening. But we need it to happen everywhere. Everywhere. Not just in a few select places that think they want to. I would like you to do this everywhere. Why? Because you got to know what this book says. It won't disappear in a minute. You got to know what this book says. I'm going to get it there. Anyway, you got to know. Then you've got that background. Then when you know what it says, all the words, remember, therein is an important word in Article 5 that they're ignoring. The comma is very important in Article 5 that they're ignoring. Okay? I mean, these are important things. People need to know the numbers, all kinds of stuff. I could keep us on this call for another 4 hours, just pointing out little things in here that we've got to know that we don't, because nobody bothers to read this. And when they do, it's a skim. I've read it. What does it say? I don't know. I read it. It's only 4,000 words, you guys. And when you put it all together, it's just under 8. All the amendments and everything. Although there's 8 amendments we want to throw out, and I'll explain why that. Folks, this is important. We are now talking about our life. We're not talking about good things. We're not talking about maybe things. We are talking about our life's blood. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about our children, our grandchildren. We're talking about the freedom of our country. We're talking about getting control over a rogue government. Now, the summit will occur. When that occurs, they've got to have people they can refer to and a solid group of people that are ready for that. I've had a lot of people say they want to be a part of the summit. Well, to be a part of the summit, this is the step to be one of the safety committees.
Yes.
And I don't know how many there are.
I've got to say this. What you are doing, folks, I was never good at history when I attended school. Okay. It wasn't until later in life that I started to really get into learning and reading history. And what you are hearing right now, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, is actually recreating the Committee of Safety, as he said, Committees of Correspondence, Committee of Inspection, Committees of Observation, Committee of Safety. But he's recreating. How would you describe this? I don't want to put words in your mouth or mischaracterize this, but you're following the template of the founding fathers in this.
Yes, I guess that's exactly right, Doug. That's what I'm doing. I'm following the template that was established in 1775, 1774,
right.
1773.
Which makes sense because it worked then. It can work again.
And remember, the Lord, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the guy whom we worship along with the Father, he wanted these things to happen. He inspired these things to happen. He inspired the revolution. He inspired this freedom. He inspired the Constitution. Let's just do the same thing they did, and we'll have the same champion with us. Is that fair?
100% fair. And this initiative that you offer, and folks, again, just to recap this and to drive this point home, time is not on our side, all right? There's looming right now this Convention of States, as they call it, which is actually a constitutional convention, which is a bad idea because we're not going to have a constitution after this happens. You can go back and listen to why, okay? So we need to get this done right away. So to recap this, whoever's listening, get 9 people, 9 plus yourself, 10 people minimum, get them together.
10 books too, by the way, 10 books.
Right. I'll supply Dr. Pro. I'll pay for the books for the first 3 groups, okay? And then we'll talk later, you know, because again, we're not rich. But this is the way that you can help. Because we need people on the ground. Believe me, as we go forth too, with what we're doing, this will work. I mean, this will fit perfectly. I don't know. Who should I call you? Not Ben Franklin. I mean, seriously.
Let's see. It would be Madison, not Madison.
Madison. No.
Adams. It was Adams.
Adams. Okay.
It was Adams that was hiding in Concord, and they wouldn't let him go fight in the battle because they needed him too badly. So they speared him away. He was hiding in the homes in Concord.
Oof. Wow. Yeah. Okay. This is good stuff.
But I'm not gonna equate myself with those guys. I'm just a dude that puts his pants on the same as everybody else. One leg at a time.
I can't ride a horse. I don't think I can. I haven't. So, I don't know. I'm not a town crier. I'll just cry out and say, please, let's do this because that would help.
Look at the communications we have today to do this. Look at this internet. Look at what Skype has done. They didn't have any of this. They had to send people on horseback and hope that it all worked out. Mm-hmm. They could have gone through all the committees of safety, had a correspondence committee, they call them too. Those committees, had they had this, Paul Revere wouldn't have had to go anywhere. They'd have picked up the phone, pushed a button, and everybody in Massachusetts would have known in minutes.
And this was so effective at that time, because of this, because of what we're talking about back then, it took away the power from the royal officials, the royalty, and they became increasingly powerless. I guess that's the way to say it.
Here's another picture, Doug. I'm going to say this. We must remember that that group of people ended up having a war with guns and blood, okay, cannon and all that garbage. If we do this with alacrity, if we just get started and individually set up constitutional sanctuary counties, by Jove, we may be able to get this done without any bloodshed because there will be enough support to stop it. Wouldn't that be good? But that won't happen if we don't do something today.
The picture is bleak. If you're right, the picture would be bleak.
I don't want anybody to have to shoulder a gun and go out and shoot anybody.
Heck no.
I don't want to do that. I don't want anybody to do that. So let's do something to get enough influence going on that maybe we can stop it without that before it gets to that point. And remember the summit that we talked about 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Well, 2 weeks ago, last week and this week. The summit that we talked about has to have people at the grassroots to function. Can't do anything that doesn't have those people.
That's been an issue. And without getting into details, like I said, because it wouldn't be prudent. That's been an issue, a looming question. Well, what about people? Okay. And I don't want to get into the nitty gritty because again,
that's the point, isn't it?
Yes. But that's an issue that we have addressed. And, this would fix this or at least work toward fixing this.
Yes. This won't be the whole solution, but is a solution.
But you know what? The people out there who are sitting on their hands saying, oh, you know, man, I just feel so helpless. And that's what, you know, or we'll get them in 2022. Well, I'm going to tell you, 28 ain't going to happen if we don't do something now or 2024. I mean, look at where we're at. We've got Mr. Potato Head, as a resident of the White House and heals up Harris. Oh, that's a bad thing to say, but I said it. So what? You can't get any more Twilight Zone-ish than this, right? I mean, it's.
Well, what I expect also, Doug, if you want to do this, I expect that you may use the committee, the summit committee you're talking about, use me to reach people on that group for that group too.
You could be a conduit is what you're saying. And I.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's come up. And, you know, I've spent hours, I'll just say days actually. I'm not going to say any more than that. It's an investment of time because, of the different people in different locations with different schedules and talking and trying to get things hooked in this way and that way. And a lot of people, and frankly, you know what, Dr. Proctor, to my surprise, a lot of people say, that's not going to work. I'm not going to get involved in that.
And that's why it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
If all the people who said, I don't want to do that, did it because it won't happen, it would happen.
Yep.
It's amazing how many people use the excuse. What that really is I just don't want to be bothered. I got a TV show to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And you're the only, I shouldn't say the only, you're one of the only guests, and this is not false flattery, but you're one of the only guests who's actually offering solutions or a solution. No, solutions, plural, because this will build on other things. That I would dare say that, you know, people can sit behind a microphone and they can read off headlines. They can offer commentary, but having you do this, this can change the future of this country. And I'm not, this is not a hyperbolic statement. That's true. From where I'm sitting. Yep.
Well, I'll do my best, guys. I'll do my best. I'm available.
And we're running out of time.
So, I want people to know. I want them to be able to ask questions. I want them to have discussions. I can't talk on the phone to all these people, but I can talk to groups of 10 or more.
There is a group. I will say this out of school, and then I'm going to pretend I didn't say it. There's a group that, not too far from me, that will be contacting you. I can pretty much guarantee it, because these people are they're pumped, they're primed, they're ready, and they're looking for this, what you have to offer. Okay, I'll just say it that way, and what we have to offer down the line.
The goal of these groups, let's make sure the goal is understood. The goal of these groups isn't to sit around and talk about the weather.
Right.
The goal of these groups is to discuss how to get a sanctuary committee started,
yep.
How to get a militia started, because you got to have one,
yep.
and the understanding of what is meant by this book.
You got that right. You just summed it up perfectly. You know, if I was to create a perfect show, this would be as close to perfect as I can imagine. Because again, solutions are, you know, there are people working on the election fraud aspect still, even today. But where do you take it to once you find it and prove it? Okay. Do you take it to court? Well, what court? you take it to the people? Yeah. But what? Through what media? Okay. So, this show about this issue, especially since there's so many high profile people pushing for what you're against, not knowing what you know, this is perfect. Because people might say, well, that doesn't sound perfect. That sounds like you're going up against, you know, you're going at the loggerheads against some pretty high profile conservatives. Well,
yeah, I know it. I know.
Not really. I mean, because once, we all have the same objective, just different thoughts of getting there. But this is truly a Trojan horse. Wow.
You know, if those people would invite me to speak on their shows, I would, and I would explain all these things so they could either agree or not agree.
I'll bet you you'll have one contact you. And I say that only because I know on that rotating banner on that site, I know one person who would probably contact you.
I want to be on the shows. I can reach more people if I can be on more shows. I've been on 14. I want to be on another 100.
You need to be.
Yes, I do. I need to be. Especially now, this minute. Remember, I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping that Trump will come around. Maybe this could cause it to happen. But if he doesn't, then I'm planning for the worst.
Well, you know, when you said that last week about Trump coming around, and a lot of people poo-pooed that as hopium, and you know, I tried to be in the middle and saying, look, there are people the people that are looking at things and saying, man, things aren't right. And, you know, why is this happening? And why is that happening? Like you are. And okay. And then there's things that are happening that it's in our faces. But I'm looking at some things. What would happen, Dr. Proctor? And I'm serious about this. Wisconsin earlier today, as I mentioned, they had this, hearing that, because this Democratic, top Democratic guy had the keys to the room for the ballots. There's stuff still going on in Arizona. There's stuff still going on in Georgia. Investigations. Now, I'm not saying that anything is going to come of those, but what would happen if Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, or someplace where there was fraud, Pennsylvania, what would happen if they said, wow, we just proved, I mean, we just, here's the proof, and they bring it. Look, here's the proof of fraud. And that would change the election results in our state. What would happen? I mean,
Doug, the best of all worlds. Now, the best of all worlds. Remember, we got to talk reality.
Right.
But the best of our worlds, if those people with force came ahead and said, look, we voted wrong. The votes that we gave you are incorrect. We are changing our vote. It is possible that the election could be overturned even today.
Folks, you might say, man, you've fallen into some crazy pit and you're crazy as heck, Doug. But I'll tell you something. You know, if that, I wouldn't discount that. Because a year ago today, folks, think about this. A year ago today this is the year anniversary of the declaration of the pandemic. So go back a week or two prior to that. If I would have sat here and said, you know, everybody's going to be walking around wearing a mask, the country's going to shut down for a year, and, you know, on and on and on and on. You would have said, go away. You're a moron.
How could you shut down the whole country, huh? Why would the government go out and destroy crops? Why are you going to do that one? That's not going to happen. That's silly. That's exactly what they would have said.
Yeah.
That's what they would have said.
So, you know, at this point, look, my mind is not so open that my brains are falling out. However, there's some things going on here that you just never know. I mean, again, you know, I just, I don't know who, if again, a year ago, if I would have said, you're going to see concertina wire around the Capitol. Yeah, right.
That's right.
There we are. So, you know what, folks, again, there are things that are going on that we don't really know the outcome. What would happen if Arizona, for example, Maricopa County, which is essentially Arizona, they said, hey, guess what? Trump won. Okay, well, there goes Arizona. And maybe other states would follow. And yeah, look, I don't know because we have not gone through this. Has there ever been a time in history with this much voter fraud outside of, you know, geographically small areas?
Well, you're saying in history with this much voter fraud. Yeah, it happened in all the communist countries over and over and over again.
I mean, in the United States.
In the United States, no, we've never had this kind of garbage.
No, I didn't think so.
Except what we see in cowboy shows and things that are doing a depiction of California when they're trying to stop the elections to get someplace and trying to prevent it. Somebody saves the day by riding through the hills and gathering all the votes and taking them in and saves the day. That kind of stuff. But actually occurring in this volume and this much? No. We have had a regular, honest country. Until today.
Wow. It was a coup.
Yes, it was. It was a coup. We hear about coups, military coups all the time. Yeah, we do. They happen. There's always somebody that's cheating everybody else in their country so they can take over. That's what a coup is. We just had one in our country. Who'd have ever thought? And if you think you have any freedoms left, you're up in the night.
There I have to say that you're so right. And think about the video, the 3 or 4 minute video that played at the beginning. Can you imagine having to show some sort of certificate or show your papers before you can board a plane, get a job, open a bank account, do anything?
Papers, please.
Papers, please. Where have we seen that before in world history? Papers.
Oh,
please.
Yes. Over and over and over again. Yeah. You can't count. Well, we could if we wanted to sit down here and just put them together. The countries that's happened in.
Yep. Yep.
You guys must remember that the founding fathers knew about these kinds of things. So they wrote things to make sure it didn't happen in our country. And you know, that lasted for 200 years. But, and one of them is the militia in Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15 and 16, and its purpose to put down insurrections. Okay? Yes. This is one of those, you guys. It's written in here to protect ourselves from those things. And they had militias up until after the Civil War. I do not know when they really stopped. But you don't hear about them again after the Civil War. And we have a standing army now, which we're not supposed to have ever.
That's true. A lot of people don't know that and don't really talk about that. The fact that the founders never intended to have a standing army. If you read, I think, Anti-Federalist Papers, I'm not sure where.
Yeah, let me see. It's paragraph 12 of section 8 of Article 1, Section 8.
Okay.
To raise, Congress has the power to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to be used longer than term of 2 years. See? They didn't want a standing army. That's their statement right there. It's in the book. It's in this book.
Thank you for that. And yeah, folks, there it is again, saving the Constitution. If you choose not to or otherwise don't have the ability to, if you don't know nine people and don't want to meet nine people plus yourself, whatever, you can always get your copy of Saving the Constitution. I highly advise you do this as well, Saving the Constitution. And while you're at it, Bathroom Economics too, because it goes hand in hand. And the Liberty Series as well. There's a whole litany of books there authored by Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. And, hey, I'll tell you what, it's well worth it. But you know what? You asked for solutions. This is a giant leap forward for solutions. You mentioned June. One thing I didn't see in the news articles, is June their target date to have this?
No, what I heard was the convention is rumored to start in May.
Okay.
I don't think they'll take very long to do it. Because they already know what they're going to do. I don't think it will take very long because they want to get it done as quickly as they can in case something happens to their ability to enforce it.
So what are we just to recap this again, what would we be preventing in a sense? Let's say everyone just lays down and goes to sleep and they have their convention. What would be the result of that?
What would be the result?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Well, you talked earlier today about those passports.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a passport. Can you imagine having to have a paper to get into a restaurant? Can you imagine having to have a paper to get to the job? Can you imagine having to have a paper to do anything in your life you do? You know, there's another thing that Biden's done recently. I don't know exactly how he did it or how he phrased it. But the executive order set it up so that the police could stop any woman driving a car and arrest her for no other cause.
Actually, yes. Any man or woman, anybody without cause based on demographics.
Anybody.
Based on.
Can stop you for no cause. Look and check you and arrest you for no cause whatsoever? What country is it that does that? What countries are there that do that? Oh, I know. We're pattering ourselves out against China. China does that.
Yeah.
Let's be like Chinese. That'll be fun.
And do you know, you were talking about the money stuff. And I just realized, well, I heard this early this morning and then I did some research on it. You know, the interest on our debt, one of the biggest holders of our debt is Communist China. And so if a person or a country, in this case, holds our debt, we pay interest on that debt. Well, the interest that we pay on the debts held by Communist China funds the Chinese Communist Party that we are actually funding our own demise, if you get my drift, based on what you said.
Yes, and I can show you how we're funding our own demise in debt that we take out from the bank.
Right.
And that's something different than you just said. I can show you how we are funding our own demise just by the money that we borrow from the bank for things we don't need.
Right. And so, but I should say the $1,400 that everyone's, oh my gosh, I'm going to get $1,400. That is the government forcing you to take out a loan.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Future loan. Yeah. Forcing you to take. We think this is great. Oh boy. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And by the way, the loan isn't going to be just something that's going to be in the future. Well, when we pay the debt back, then no. No, they're forcing you to allow them to destroy the money supply, to create an environment where you can't buy goods and services anymore because the money's been inflated so badly. And if you want to know how that works out, just go back and read a little of the history of Germany during the 1920s when they began to inflate their money so that they could get away from having to pay those absolutely enormous reparations of World War I. They could never do it, so they inflated their money so they could. And people literally had to pay a billion marks to buy a stamp, to send a letter. That's not fake, guys. I've got the stamps in my stamp collection. That's not fake. So next week, when you go to the post office, you have to pay 55 cents. And you complain because it used to be less. Well, wouldn't it be nice when you go to the post office in 2022 and you have to pay $900 for that same stamp? Or 2025 when you have to pay $10,000 for that same stamp? Or 2027 when you have to pay $100,000 for that same stamp? Do you get my drift? That's what's happening. That's economics. Those are laws that you cannot have a government, cannot do anything about. I mean, it's kind of like the guy who's falling down a building. Let's pass a law so I won't hit the ground. It's kind of like that.
Yes. That's a good analogy. I do like that. Wow. This is absolutely great. Folks, again, take advantage of this. Please contact Dr. Richard Proctor. The contact information will be at his website, but at the link at HagmanReport.com in this episode description. You have to open the box, you know, to see the episode description. But get some people together and let's get this going. And, at the very least, if for some reason you can't do that or you're whatever, and then
you're on an island in the Pacific somewhere and you still want to have the book, go ahead and get it.
Yeah, get the book. Okay.
We'll send
get the books, plural. But, okay, so yes, now we've got about 15 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly this has gone. Again, folks, tell people about this program, this specific episode, because again, if I was to create, because of the emails I receive, and I read them all, and the mail I receive, if I was to create a kind of a perfect episode in terms of what to do or what can be done, this is it. This is kind of the missing link. And, ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that there was a few missing things during my conversations with other talk show hosts, other people, and this kind of fills in that blank because you can be part of this, and we need you to be part of this. So this is good.
And you get the books of a little less money too.
Yeah, the first three groups you'll get them free. You'll get them on me, actually. Nothing's free. You'll get them on me.
Doug's putting himself out to encourage this to occur.
There you go. The first three, and then we'll talk as we go. So, hey, be one of the first three and do it now. Do it now. Contact 9 people, your friends, minimum of 10. Okay. Contact them and say, hey, I'm ready to invite Dr. Proctor in and we're going to talk and we're going to. Yes. You know, learn. So, okay. So the rest of the program again is yours. Whatever you want to address, go ahead and address.
Okay. Well, I'll get myself so I'm not such a big head. I like to be a big head because that's how you do posters in the communist countries. You do posters and you have big heads and they put them on big signs and everybody knows who you are. Article 6. I'm going to read out of Article 6, this book that, you know, we've been talking about. I'm going to read paragraph 3. Okay. The senators and representatives before mentioned, that means Article 1, and the members of the several state militia, state legislatures, that's everybody else, and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. I don't want to go to the rest. It talks about a religious test. That the first part that I just said is the important part. Okay, well, it's all important, but that's what I want to talk about right now. Think about this for a moment. Every one of these people have sworn an oath to support the Constitution. And they don't know what they're talking about. But more than that, that gives them the authority to read the Constitution and then look at the laws coming from the federal government and say, no, we're not going to do that. It's not in accordance with the Constitution. And our responsibility on our oath said we are going to support the Constitution. We can't support the Constitution if we allow that in our state. So we're going to stop that right now. We're not going to do that. That can go into the past, too, by the way. It doesn't just have to be in the future. I watched some senators in our – I was up in the Capitol building. I watched about five or six senators discussing how can we get our power back in the federal government. How can we get our people, the senators, back underneath our control? If they just read the Blumen book right here, the answer is right there. Now, at that time, I didn't know the answer either, but I do today. And they don't know the answer either. If those senators had just said, Article 6 says that we got to support the Constitution. The Constitution says that the senators will be under our control. Therefore, we're going to nullify anything from the federal government that changes that. And you can. They can do that. The Constitution itself and the 10th Amendment gives them the right. They don't need the 10th Amendment, really. They got the right there in Article 6. But, you know, they can gloss over, they can add that to it. So what would be the effect if everybody we know knew what the Constitution said? And we could ask people, what? Why? Don't you realize what you can do, what the power of the state is? The state, I know this occurred. I didn't watch it, but I know it occurred. Some federal officials came into our state offices. And they said, we would like to see this and this and this. And the state representative said, no, you can't see that. You're not allowed to by our state law. And the federal government guy said, our laws trump your laws. So they gave it to him because they didn't know that wasn't true. That's a lie. Federal government does not, the laws of the federal government do not trump the state government. They do not. It's the state government that trumps the federal government. And I'll give you illustrations. Well, there are a lot of illustrations, but I'll just give you one. This happened with Rail ID back in the early 2000s. And everybody was going to have Rail ID, a proper driver's license. You can't get on a plane. You can't go in a federal building, all of that kind of stuff. You got to have a passport properly issued by the federal government to get into a federal building or get on a plane or a train. Does that ring a bell? What we just played just 2 hours ago when we're going to have a passport to get on it. Well, this time it was a mark on the driver's license. Same thing, guys. Same thing. And a couple of states up in the north said, no, we're not going to do that in our state, period. And the Homeland Security went after them and said, well, then people are not going to get on a plane. Not going to be able to go to federal building. Well, we're not going to do it anyway. We're not doing it in our state. We will give you a permission to avoid it, temporarily avoid it for a time. We don't want permission to temporarily avoid it. We aren't going to do it. And you know what happened? There were enough of the states, about 3, 4, the whole program was ditched. The federal government backed off. Now, they brought it back around, and it exists today again. They brought it back around, snuck it in, and it exists today. You have to have a gold star on your driver's license or you can't get on a plane. Okay? They suck it back in again.
Pennsylvania.
We stopped it because we knew what was being said. And it was public. It was publicized enough that we knew what was happening. So the people in those states, the representatives, the legislature, the government of those states said, We won't do it. We're nullifying that law in our state. And they got away with it. And every state benefited because of that. Because that's what Article 6 says. That's what Article 6 is about. If we would just, these groups we're talking about, we're going to learn, we're going to talk about these things. You can ask questions. You can ask the application. You can pick my brain about all the stuff I know about any of these things, which we cannot talk about because we only have 2 hours. But folks, these are the kinds of things that we're going to talk about. And we're going to organize groups that can reach out to these people. I mean, I know of some of the things that just recently happened, that one of the House representatives from my, or represents my district, is violating Utah law, Utah morals, Utah law. I know it. My wife ran against him. She didn't win, of course. He's there. But nonetheless, he is violating our law. If more people, if my wife had had the ability to go around and tell people what he's done and what he's doing and has done in the past, violating the laws of Utah, and had he hasn't done to support the Constitution in this book, maybe she would have been elected and we would have had a representative that wouldn't have approved that. Folks, that's what we're talking about.
You know, Doctor, if you would have mentioned, and I'm glad you didn't, but if you would have mentioned, if you would have put a name to that, and this would be post-passage of H.R. 1, if you would have put a name to that, and gone into any more detail, you could have been, or you could be, criminally investigated criminally by the Department of Justice as a result of H.R. 1.
That's where we are, folks. Did you hear that? That's where we are. But your state can nullify that.
That's right.
Yes, they can. Did you see that fancy look? Yes, they can. We're not without power in our states. Reads paragraph 3, and apply it. See how it can be applied. See what can happen. And that's the kind of stuff that we want to do with these sessions.
Yeah.
That's why I want to have as many as possible. What if we could do, over time, what if we did hundreds in every state? But that's thousands of people. That makes a difference in the voting, in the past voting. But it would make a difference now in what they will try to do to us. And if we can set up sanctuary counties with sanctuary militias, maybe we could protect ourselves from these things too. Especially if several counties got together and worked together to do it. Look what's happening. The state won't do it. Counties get together and do it.
And now's the perfect time, folks.
It's the time. It's the time.
It's the only time we have, and it's the perfect time. And you know what? I think God put Richard Proctor on this program for a reason, for such a time as this, and here we are. I truly believe in what I, you know what, before the show, I didn't have any idea what Dr. Proctor was going to do or say. We don't rehearse this. And what he said just fits so perfectly. So I want to, yes.
I want to make a statement on that. I didn't know what I was going to talk about either until yesterday when I started getting some thoughts about what we should talk about and some thoughts about the opportunity to help people, to encourage people to have these groups.
Man.
And look what's come from those thoughts.
I've got to tell you, again, you want, you know, we can talk all day long, multiple days, about problems. You want solutions? Here's a big one. And here's one that can help all of us. But we all have to become involved. So please, folks, take advantage of this. And Richard Proctor, his time is valuable, but he's willing to offer it to you. In groups of at least 10, and I'm willing to buy the books for you. And then there's steps after that, okay? There's steps after that, and I'm working on some other, myself and some others, we're working on some things. This will fit nicely into the big package, so please take advantage of this. And at the very least, if for some reason, you know, you don't have any friends or you don't have, I mean, whatever the case might be, Get yourself a copy of Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, Liberty Series, all the books, folks. You need to do this. So please contact Dr. Proctor. The information will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, or simply go to Provis, P-R-O-V like Victor, I-S, ProvisInstitute.com. We're at the end of the show.
Have a good day, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, folks. That'll do it for me tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Wow. Powerful. I'm excited too about this. May God bless. Good night.